for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heavens. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of the father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you, and wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I am not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Here ends the reading.
Good morning. Got a few questions to start with. Have you been blessed recently? Not rhetorical questions. Have you been blessed recently? Okay. How often, this one is rhetorical. How often does God bless you? Think about that for a minute. How often does God bless you? How do you acknowledge God's blessing? And then finally, do others around you see God's blessing in your life? Lord, as we come now to this time of proclaiming your word, Lord, we understand this is a part of worship as well. Not that we're just the observers, but that we're hearing what you have to say because, Lord, we need to understand you and who you are in order to give you the worship you deserve. So right now we open our hearts, our minds, our souls, but Lord, we also ready our hearts and we ready our feet to be on the move in the way that you would lead us to through the message that you're about to bring. And Lord, because so often we're not sure exactly what we're supposed to do or how we're supposed to do it, we pray as you have taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, I encourage you to open your Bibles up. Well, I'm going to be looking specifically at some of the scriptures. We're going to look at Jacob's story. If you haven't been here for all of the messages throughout the summer, we're doing a summer story series where we're looking at some of the familiar stories, particularly of the Old Testament, although last week we had one from the New Testament. But we're looking at some of the familiar stories to kind of reacquaint ourselves with some things that we might just take for granted, but also to try to understand how it's relevant to what's happening in our lives today. So the story that we have today is about Jacob and what's so often referred to as Jacob's ladder. In the scripture today, it's referred to as a stairway, and that'll make sense. It will make sense, but at the same time, I know I grew up with singing, hearing the same song as Melissa, Jacob's Ladder, and I don't know if you did. This was before we had like a bunch of handheld video games and all this, but anybody ever have a piece of string you tied a knot and had a circle and you made things out of the string? Anybody ever make Jacob's ladder? Yes. Yeah, see? All right, so I'm not the only one. Thank you, Sabrina. I'm not the only one that did that. I cannot do it now. So if somebody can come back and show it to me, I'd love to be able to do it again. But these have been a part of our childhood. But even as I prepared this, there were things about the story of Jacob's ladder, truths in Jacob's ladder, that all my years I hadn't realized until I began preparing for the message that I believe God wants us to have today. So let's delve into the scripture to start with. At the very beginning of the scripture that we heard in chapter 28, verse 10, Genesis 28:10. We see where it says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Now, the word I want to focus on here is sleep. And as you do a study of that and understand the context of what's going on here and all the theological assumptions that are associated with it, we can come to a conclusion that the sleep represents Jacob ceasing from his own personal activity, ceasing from making it about him, and that God is about to begin to do something significant in Jacob's life. So this is a turning point for Jacob. This is a significant time. So when it says sleep, there's something all wrapped up in this moment of sleep that it's talking about with Jacob. Well, Jacob had a dream in which he saw a stairway or a ladder. I want you for a moment, because I didn't realize it till we were actually saying it. Turn back in the hymn 474. Turn back and look at that. And the first verse of it, I think, is it talking about Jacob climbing the ladder? What does it say? Us. We're climbing the ladder. It's talking about that. And so there's something here that's going on. There is in this story about Jacob, there is a foreshadowing of God's plan that's not only for Jacob, but it's for all of mankind. And this song actually depicts that. This song talks about that. A lot of times when we teach a story, we hear the story, we just think it's a cool story about Jacob having an interaction with God. But it's so much more than that. The ladder, and it's all throughout Scripture, it's in the song here that others, obviously others have understood it too, the ladder can be seen as a representation of Christ. Particularly, and if you have your Bibles, I want to turn to John chapter 1, verse 51. This ties it all together. And so often we look at the Old Testament or New Testament, but if you look, almost always the Old Testament and New Testament complement each other. And here's a case in point. John chapter 1, verse 51. It says, "He then added, 'Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open up and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" What does this scripture say the angels are ascending and descending on in the Old Testament? They're ascending and descending on what? On the stairway or on the ladder. And then here in verse 51, it says that you will see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on, not the ladder, but on the Son of Man. This was something that in all my theological education, somehow or another, I had missed. The connection, the representation here, the fact that this transcended so far beyond Jacob, that the ladder actually depicts our relationship with Christ. And where it leads, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I want to make sure it's all tied together and you know where I'm going. I understand now that the ladder can represent Christ and it leads us to God. Does that make sense? The ladder represents Christ that leads us to God. Can we get to God without Jesus Christ? Some people believe we can, but the Bible says we can't. So that's a whole new nuance to this story of Jacob and Jacob's ladder. So continuing with verse 13, it says, "There above it stood the Lord." And you can continue with that, but I want to focus on the above it. the above it in the Hebrew, if you go back and look in the Hebrew language and the study of that, it would actually be more accurately translated. Instead of above, it would be beside. So if we're understanding that in the way that it was originally intended, I believe, we're saying that not only did the angels descend to Jacob, but the God of the universe came down this ladder of glory and stood beside him. It wasn't just that he was up here and couldn't be reached and he was looking up, but there was a connection and that there was a sense of coming closer together. That's pretty significant. We continue with verse 14. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I love to talk about God's promises. I've talked about how promises are important to me, are important in my family. The Bible is totally, completely filled with promises. I have one of the devotions I do is an app on my phone that I get a promise from God every day that's based in Scripture. It's called 365 Promises. You can subscribe to it just as well as I can. Just look up 365 Promises, go search the internet, and there will be a Scripture that will be a promise that God has made in Scripture, and there's a little devotion that usually goes along with that. But that's, God promises us so much. And it's not even just limited to the specific words in the Bible. In our relationship, as we spend time with God, as we listen to God, as we commune with God, God makes specific promises to us in much the same way he did with Jacob. Here's some of the promises he made with Jacob. First, I am with you. Second, I will watch over you. Next, I will bring you here. And then the last thing he says there is, I'm going to keep my promise to you, Jacob. I'm going to keep it. Why did he have to do the last one? He's God. Do you think God lies? You think Jacob thought God lied? Do you think Jacob may have found it a little bit difficult, even though he knew God didn't lie, to really imagine how all this was going to come true? Yes. So God reassured him. God said, Jacob, I'm going to be with you. I promise you. I'm going to be with you through all of these promises being fulfilled. You can trust me. Well, as we continue, verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob had what we call a God experience. Have you ever described yourself as having a God experience? Something where you knew undoubtedly God was involved in some aspect of your day, your life, a situation, a conversation, avoiding an accident, whatever it may have been, there was a God situation, a God experience there. Well, this is what happened to Jacob. And he recognized that while he wasn't paying attention before, God was really there all along. And he just wasn't aware of it. And when Jacob was simply able to recognize God's presence, and that God was at work, it changed his life. So, what did he do when he realized his life was changed? That's what comes in verse 18 and 19. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it as a pillar and poured oil on it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Bethel? The word Bethel means house of God. The word Luz means separation. We worship a God who is able to take a place that's defined by separation and put us so in tune with him that we're then living in a presence such that we can say that we're in the house of God. And not just the house of God as in a building of a church, but a house of God where his presence is undeniable. But not only that, what did Jacob do at this point? What action did he take? He made a vow, but also he built something. What did he build? He built an altar. He built a memorial of types. This was something that was important enough to Jacob that he said, I've got to define this. I've got to make something. And in a sense, this was saying, this is a defining point in my life. But not only that, what Jacob did became something that every person who came to that spot was also able to see. Now, whether Jacob was there to tell him a story or whether he engraved a little plaque like we do and put, I don't know how he did it. But I'm sure somehow or another, God used that for the purpose of continuing to convey who God was to those who had eyes to see. So I hope that you have some insight, some excitement, some enthusiasm about this story of Jacob and Jacob's ladder that maybe goes back and relates to your childhood, to your VBS days, to your playing with the strings. But I hope more than that, it's going to take you to a new place today, tomorrow, and the days ahead. And I want to spend just a minute talking about that. So I want to talk about, instead of Jacob's connection with God, I want to look at our connection to God, our ladder. Our ladder is how we connect to God. And what is our ladder? What did we talk about? What is the scripture referring to when it says ladder? Jesus. Jesus Christ. Our connection to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is at the foot of the ladder. Jesus is the ladder that takes us to God, that brings that connection, that puts us closer together. Because you see, there's a lot of times that I don't know if it's that we're satisfied with it, or we don't understand, or we haven't heard. I don't know all of the reasons that different people get stuck in this way, but I believe there are a lot of people that spend their life, and they call themselves Christians, and they may be, and they're religious, but it's as though they're sitting down on the ground, looking up, straining their eyes as hard as they can to see glimpses of what they think God is. And that's how they live the majority of their life. There's a ladder there. That ladder has a purpose. You don't need the ladder if you're just going to look. If I'm needing to get up on top of my roof and do something to it, I can put the ladder there and I can look up, but it ain't going to get done unless somebody climbs that ladder. So if we're going to have a relationship with God like God intends, it can't be from a distance. The ladder is there for a purpose, and that ladder is Jesus Christ. And as we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and embrace that relationship on a daily basis, we grow closer and closer to God. And we never arrive to that ultimate destination, this side of heaven. But I promise you, as you travel that journey and you get closer, God gets clearer. He's easier to understand. It's easier to interpret the scriptures as His Holy Spirit intends us to. It's all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ladder that takes us to God. There is power in God's promises, is the next thing I want to just set on for a little bit. I think the central promise here that's being communicated to Jacob is that God is with us at all times. I think that fits within in the promises, what he's trying to say, because, you know, Jacob, he was traveling by himself at this point. And he was going out in a way that probably wasn't fun. He wasn't experiencing, it wasn't a vacation for him. I'll put it that way. But he got to a point and he realized he wasn't alone. And I don't know how many of you have ever done this, but I'm guessing there are times in life, maybe even in the past week, that even though there were people around you, you felt very alone. God will never, ever, ever leave you alone. And you need to know that. And he's telling you that this morning. But there are a few other promises that go along with that. I will watch over you. I will take care of you. Wasn't there a phrase that in the song you sang, Dave? Wasn't there a phrase in there that talked about God caring for us in the sweet by and by? I think it is. You go back and find it. I think. And let me know. But at that dawn on me, God, in the sweet by and by, God cares for us. He watches over us. In the Lord's Prayer that we say, that most of us know by heart, we ask that God provide for us this day our daily bread. That's not just saying, God, give me some loaf bread to eat. It's got us saying that, God, we're trusting you to provide whatever we need. We're trusting you to take care of us. That's what he told Jacob, and we're claiming Jacob's promise every time we say the Lord's Prayer. Did you know that? Do you believe that? Then the next promise was, I will bring you back here. God gave a specific plan for Jacob. Jacob found it hard to believe that what he said was going to come true, that he was going to multiply his descendants, that he was going to take care of them in this way, and that he was going to come back here, and it was going to be an amazing experience, is basically what God was saying. And Jacob was thinking, really? I know you're God, but really? God has specific plans for us, and as we reach out to God, as we pray to God, as we seek what God wants, there are times that God will lead us and he will impress upon us that this is a place we're supposed to be, this is where we're supposed to go, and you know, this is pretty specifically what it's supposed to look like. And yes, I'm going to take care of you. Do you believe it? Do you believe God can and will provide for you? Do you believe he is doing it in a specific way? I don't mean just a general way. I don't mean that if I love God, my life's going to be okay and I follow the precepts and I understand it. That's true, but I mean God specifically has a plan for you. Do you believe that? Are you seeking it? Are you embracing it? Will you know it when you get there? It's possible you could get there and never have a clue and actually think you did it yourself. If you're not climbing the ladder, if you're not in relationship with Jesus Christ, that helps you see more clearly who God is. And then the last promise again, basically the same thing as it was for Jacob. God says, I will keep my promise. God shows over and over again in Scripture how he does that. God has never, ever broken a promise. Now, sometimes it may be in God's time and not our time. Scripture says that. But when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And so he's saying to us again today, you know, I'm going to be with you throughout all of those promises being fulfilled. And you know what? After all those promises are fulfilled, you're going to be with me in heaven spending eternity if you've chosen to. That's the kind of promise. That's the kind of life that Jesus lays before us if we're willing to claim it. Now, for me, this is exciting. The Jacob story and Jacob's ladder is more exciting to me today than it's ever been. But along with that, I believe that we have a responsibility. You see, I believe that there's a difference in experiencing the presence of God and knowing about the presence of God. That's what I was talking about before with sitting down at the bottom and looking up. There's a difference in knowing. Just knowing that God's there, knowing that there's a presence, believing that, you can know it in your head, but then there's a sense where you can experience it. You can go throughout your day and you can know without a shadow of a doubt that God has his hand on you, God has his hand on your mouth, your words, your actions, and your day is different when you put your head down on the pillow because of that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that enabling you to understand God, and your day is completely different. A lot of the situations, a lot of things that happen around you might not be extremely different, but I tell you, the way you understood them, the way you embraced them, the way they influenced you, the way you used them in relationship to other people changed dramatically. So, if that's going to be the case, we need to be excited about that in the same way that Jacob was excited about it. I believe we need to create memorials. I believe we need to take those stone pillows, whatever you want to call them, and we need to dedicate to God, give Him the honor, the glory, the praise for what He's doing in our lives. So then how do we do that? If you want to, you can go out and get rocks and you can build an altar, and as long as you make sure it's to God and you aren't building some graven image. But you can do that, and it be a place that signifies that. You can do that. But I started thinking about this, and there are a lot of other ways in terms of promises. Maybe you've been studying your Bible and there's some promises there that you want to claim for yourself and you want to know. And some people are okay writing in Bible, some not. I write in mine. Highlight it. Say, God, You promised me this. I want to see it. And put a sticky note there. And go back and look and ask, when is this promise going to come through? Or is it going to come through? And you know when it does come through, you better get excited about it and realize it was God that brought it to you and wasn't something that was a coincidence or that you accomplished by yourself. That would be the first way. Another way of bringing a memorial to God, use the gifts God gave you. There are people in here who write beautiful poetry, painting, music. We can create in a way that God speaks through us, and the things that come out in that are not ours. They're inspired by God and who God is. And these become a memorial. I meant to bring in here. There was a young person, I probably preteen, that gave me a canvas painting the year that she accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. She painted, she painted one for herself too, but I was involved in helping to lead her to Christ, and she brought that and gave it to me. That was her memorial. I think she was probably 12 years old. She painted that and gave it to me because this meant something, and she was thankful for that. That can be meaningful. Maybe you write a letter. Write a letter to God. Sometimes people, yes, you can say, you can pray, but when you put it in writing, you'd be amazed the things I've written in journal, and I went back and found them 10, 15 years later, what that did for my heart and my soul and how it immediately transported me almost like a time machine back to the place where I was having that conversation with God. And then I was able to zip through 15 years and see how God was a part of that prayer that I prayed 15 years ago. It's amazing. Maybe it's simply sharing your testimony with others. That's giving a memorial to God, saying, you know what, when you have opportunity, when God leads it and you share what God's doing in your life, it makes it that much more real to you when you hear it out of your mouth into your ears, but it also impacts others. And then the last one. We have an altar here at the church. And I've wondered, I'm interested, and I'm not trying to step on people's toes, but I have a serious question to ask. One of the comments that I've heard several times in this church is that we feel like an altar call is important. Okay? What's an altar call for? Obviously, we like for people to know they have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's probably first and foremost in making sure we communicate that, and you have that opportunity today. But what does it communicate to people if the only time we come to the altar, the only time we proclaim in front of other people what God's doing in our lives and how excited we are and that this is a momentous occasion, is maybe that one time or maybe couple times in our lifetime? And I'm not saying we need to come to the altar every single Sunday, but if God's doing something in our lives, and it doesn't have to be through the altar, but the altar is one way I think we should do it, we need to proclaim it. We need to put down a memorial. We need to make that more real for us, and we need to show it to other people. Because if we're not doing that, I don't believe we're doing what God calls us to. And I believe we're doing a lot more sitting down on the ground looking up at God than we are engaging God. Because you know, when we hang out with God for a while, He's not going to hang out with just you and I very long before somebody else is going to come alongside. And if that person doesn't know who our Jesus is, we need to introduce them. That's our responsibility. So I ask you today, are you climbing Jacob's ladder? Are you seeking an experience with God through Jesus Christ? Are you building a memorial that's giving God the credit for what God deserves, and are you being an example for others? Those are the challenges I think God's laying before us today. It's a pretty awesome message to come from a little string I used to try to figure out how to make look a certain way so I could look at my brother and say, I did it and you didn't. Lessons come around full circle. I'm going to ask Melissa and Dave if they'll come up. We're going to have our closing hymn. And as we do, the altar is open. And I'm going to be a little more specific about the altar call today. And I'm not going to be upset if nobody comes, because it's not about me. But I want you to have an opportunity for you and God. This altar is here, and I stand here as somebody who would love to pray with you if you want that support, want that encouragement. But you don't need me. You can come and you can pray right here. And it's no different than you praying in your seat, except it's saying, look, God, this is something I don't usually do, but it's this important to me, and I want to make sure that it's something I don't forget. And it may mean kneeling down on my knees, which may be a little weird, a little awkward, a little uncomfortable, but you know what, God, I'm willing to do that for you because of what you're doing for me in my life right now. And yes, I'm not asking people to close their eyes while you're doing it, because I want them to know that something's happening in your life. And maybe it's a struggle that you're having, and they can pray with you for it. Maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's God calling you to do something, and maybe you will or won't share it with somebody, but we need to be able to do that for each other. Whether it's very specific or in general. So the altar's open. And I invite you to come. Only as God leads, not as your pastor leads, as God leads. The altar's open for you to come and pray. I'll be here to pray with you if you choose. If not, just go straight to the altar and do your business with God. Let's stand together and sing.